preacher who did much counseling of Christians had this to say, that the main problem he found with most Christians was that they lacked the sense of feeling that they were forgiven. They believed they were forgiven, but they lacked the sense of feeling or enjoying that forgiveness. I did some few years back, I probably said this before, I'll say it again, and I visited down through from Pumpkin Hill right down through the Woods Harbors and down through on the island and visited most of the summer. When I found Christians, people who said they were born again, I asked them if they were going to stand before the great white throne judgment and their books be opened up and they were going and their sins were going to be brought up. And if I asked 40 or 50 people that, there were only about 2 people that told me that no, they weren't going to be there. But, and the others who said they were born again, but they were not enjoying forgiveness. If I thought my sins were going to be brought up at the great white throne judgment, I wouldn't be enjoying forgiveness either. I wouldn't even believe that I was forgiven if God was going to bring them up again. Now, We just, in Luke chapter 7, there's a principle here, I believe. This is account of the only woman in the Bible that's called a sinner. I know they're all sinners, but in verse 37, behold a woman in the city which was a sinner. And that word sinner was, she was a notorious sinner. She was a terrible, wicked sinner. Likely a prostitute, and likely a thief, and everything that goes along with it. And this woman, as you recall the story, is found in the house of a Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, and she's worshiping the Lord Jesus, weeping at his feet, washing his feet with the hairs of her head, kissing his feet, anointing them with ointment. And the Lord makes a statement down in verse number 47 to Simon, who didn't understand his allowing a wicked woman to do that. Wherefore I say unto thee, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved, that's why she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now there's a principle here. Every person that's forgiven is forgiven 100%. There's no such a thing as some people being forgiven, partly forgiven, as far as the judgment of God goes, and some people being fully forgiven. The difference was that this woman had a greater realization of her sins. A greater conviction of sins. She could look back over her life and see a lot of her sins. They weren't bothering her, but she was seeing them. And that is a principle of why she loved so much. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And actually, the little word for is inasmuch as she loves me so much, because to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, the idea of little being forgiven is this. When the Lord forgave your sins and my sins, how many of those sins did we know? How many do we know? We look at our past life and we think of some bad things we did, a few bad things, big sins we might call them, eh? We don't think of all the little sins and all the little sins that we've been hearing about that we do with our tongue and the filthy communications and the anger that rises and the resentments and the bitterness and the and all those things and the pride. We don't think of those things at all. Now, the more we thought of those things, this woman, the more she realized those sins of hers, it just made her love the Lord more. It just made her worship the Lord more. There's a principle there. The Lord gives it. If you love a little bit, it means you only appreciate forgiveness a little bit. If you love much, it means you appreciate forgiveness much. But how can you appreciate forgiveness if you don't know what you're forgiven of? You've got to know what you're forgiven of. Not enough to say, I'm a sinner and God forgave me. What were my sins? What did I do? What was so bad? And so it's not wrong to look back over our lives at all of our sins, big ones and little ones, big lies and little white lies, black lies and any kind of lies, and look back over them. Not that they're going to bring guilt into us or anything like that. That's where we're going to find out that's where we're going to learn the appreciation and the enjoyment of forgiveness. And the more we enjoy and appreciate what the Lord has forgiven us, that's most naturally, we're going to love Him more, isn't it? So if you want to love the Lord more, you've got to find out more about what He's forgiven you of. That's the principle set forth in this particular woman's life. Now, to look at that, there are two aspects of forgiveness in the Bible. Let's look at them in 1 John chapter 1. They're both there in 1 John. There's what we call judicial forgiveness, which the word just simply means just judgment. It's a legal word that means God has brought the sinner into court, reviewed all of the sins. Let's put it this way. When you got saved, God brought you into court, as it were. He reviewed all the sins you ever committed. You didn't remember them all. You didn't know them all. But he knew them all. He reviewed them all. And He forgave you of all those sins. You hadn't committed any of them when He took you into court. That happened when Christ died on the cross, because all of your sins were on Him. So when you got saved, God could look down your past life. He could look at your future life. Until the day you die, He can see all the sins you ever did or are or ever will commit. He can see them all. And He forgave you of all of those sins as far as the penalty or the just, righteous judgment of God is concerned. So you'll never stand before the great white throne judgment and those sins be brought up again. They're gone. They're forgiven. That's called judicial forgiveness. Most people think when they trust the Lord forgives all their past sins. But like one fellow told me, I was in a house one time witnessing somebody, and this fellow said to the people I was witnessing to, he said, yeah, he's telling you the right thing. What you do, you accept the Lord, and then you make a run for it after that. You don't make a run for it at all. The Lord's already taken care of our future sins, as well as our present ones and our past ones. So people do not understand what it means to be forgiven. And they don't understand what they're forgiven of. So the more we can find out about sin in the Bible and apply that to ourselves, the more we're going to appreciate God's forgiveness. The more we appreciate God's forgiveness, we're going to love Him more. And the more we love Him, the more we're going to serve Him. The more we're going to witness for Him. It's as simple as that. Just a series of principles that work. Now, those sins are all gone. I like Corey Boom, I guess it is, said about forgiveness. She said that God forgave her all of her sins. He cast them into the depth of the sea. And He put a no fishing sign there. Don't fish them back up again. And that's what we often do. Most people, Christians, not only have a problem with feeling forgiven, but a lot of Christians that I've known are still suffering from the guilt of past sins. They believe their sins are forgiven, but they're still bothered by their past sins. They're still guilty of their past sins. When the Lord Jesus forgives us, the slate is clean, the sins are gone, they're buried into the depths of the sea, they're removed as far as the east is from the west, and we shouldn't be fishing them back up and feeling the guilt of them. We should only remember them in the sense of appreciating the Lord has forgiven us of them. So in 1 John chapter 1, and 2 rather, in verse number 12, we read this. There are three groups of Christians here. In verse 13, there's fathers. In verse 13, there's young men. And in verse 13, there's little children. Same as there is in our life. There are babies. And there are young people growing up. And there are older people or adults. So all the Christians as such, new believers, usually a little children like babes in Christ, and so on. But he writes to them all in verse 12. The word little children there is literally, I believe that the word is literally born ones, people who are born again. I write unto you, little children, what for? Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now that's the forgiveness of the future penalty of all their sins. Earlier in the chapter he says if we do sin, in verse 9 we look at that. This is what is known as judicial forgiveness. It's the just judgment of God that passed over Christ when he dealt with the sins of mankind, but only passed over me when I trusted him as my Savior, and over you when you trusted him as your Savior. That's when it passed over us. And all those sins that were dealt with by the person of Christ on the cross of Calvary, the benefits of that all became ours the moment that we trusted Christ as our Savior, and those sins will never be brought up again in the eyes of a holy God. There are several verses we could look at, but I'd like to look at Romans maybe just briefly. I'm going to keep 1 John because I want to go back there. In Romans chapter number 4. In Romans chapter number 4. Verse 8. Says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That means God will not lay a charge against the man that's forgiven. Verse 7 says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And that man is blessed that when he does sin, God's not going to lay a charge against him because he's a forgiven man. He's forgiven for his namesake because of what the Lord Jesus did. So John lumps all of the children of God together that he's writing to here, and his epistle is a general epistle, and it could include us and everybody else. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. What for? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. That is a just judgment that's passed over Christ that we get the benefits of when we trust him as our Savior. Now, it means a setting free from the punishment and the wages of our own sin. The wages of sin is death, eternal death. But we've been set free and delivered from that penalty. We'll never be brought up and charged again. It was a word used of the release in the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament. Of all slaves were to be released and let go in the year, every 50 years, the year of Jubilee. That's the idea of our sins being removed far from us. But the problem comes, what happens after I'm saved and I do sin? So most people think, well, those sins are going to be brought up in the future. Sure, the Lord forgives me the minute I trust Him of all my sins, but what about the sins that I do after I trust Him? Well, John deals with those in chapter 1 of this epistle. This is often called governmental forgiveness. And it doesn't have to do with the great white throne judgment. It has to do with the present forgiveness. After we're saved and we do things that we shouldn't, in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now the implication there is if we don't confess them, He's not going to forgive us. Forgive us judicially, as far as the just judgment of God is concerned and the great white throne. But He's not going to let us off by sinning. If we confess those sins, He's faithful and just as our great high priest to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we call Him a liar. In verse 8, if we say we have no capabilities of sinning, we're just deceiving ourselves. But when we do sin, if we confess them, He's going to be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there are two types of forgiveness. There's a judicial forgiveness that has to do with the great white throne judgment. And there's a governmental forgiveness that we need from day to day if we sin. Now, the difference is, if we don't have judicial forgiveness, we're going to the great white throne judgment and we're going to be cast into the lake of fire. If we do have that forgiveness and we sin after we're saved and we don't confess those sins, the Lord's going to chastise us. He's going to spank us in this life. He's going to correct us in this life. Now, I see my time is going, so let's look very quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to see that. There's a present forgiveness that we need from day to day, from sinning. A present forgiveness, otherwise the Lord is going to have to correct us, spank us, because we're not going to be condemned with the rest of the world. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the abuse at Corinth, there were a lot of problems there, but in connection with the Lord's Supper, it says that those who were eating and drinking unworthily, in verse number 30, for that cause many of them were weak, many were sickly, physically, and many had even died, were asleep. It says, for if we would judge ourselves and confess our sins, then He's faithful and just to forgive us. But if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the rest of the world. So the Lord doesn't lump His people who sin against Him with the rest of the world that's going on to the great white throne judgment and eternal condemnation. He chastises us now, even to the point of taking us out of the world. Many of these people sleep. They died. There were Christians who died. So that's a governmental forgiveness. Now there are three aspects of this forgiveness. There's sins that you've committed today that you're unaware of. You don't know what they are. Somebody said, we sin every day in thought, word, and deed. I'm not sure that's altogether right, but thoughts are sinful, words are sinful, and deeds are sinful. But you probably couldn't name me one sin that you committed today, and I don't think I could name you one that I feel I've committed today, but I have committed some sins today. I don't know just what they are, because even the thought of foolishness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I know to do something good and don't do it, that's a sin. There's a lot of things that are sin in the eyes of God. Now, those particular sins I can't confess, because I don't know them, and you don't know them. So the sin offering of Christ covers those sins. The sin offering of Christ for those sins of ignorance or sins that we're unaware of, they're covered. That's one aspect of God's governmental forgiveness. Now, it's good that we are forgiven of those sins. God could tell me every sin I've committed today. There could be 20, 30, 50, I don't know. But he knows. He's already, the sin offering of Christ already covers those. I can't confess them, I don't know them, but they're already dealt with. They're sins in the eyes of God, they're already dealt with. Then there's sins that I commit, mistakes. Words that I say on the spur of the moment and things I do, and after a while it comes to my senses. I say, oh, that was wrong. That was wrong for me to do that. It was wrong for me to get upset over that person. It was wrong for me to talk unkindly to that person. It was wrong for me to think evil, have evil thoughts and this. Those are the type of sins we should confess. We should confess those. The best time to confess sins is the moment they're brought to your attention. It only takes a minute. The word just confess, just remember, means I agree with God. The word means to agree with. I agree with God that it was wrong for me to say that. And the assurance there is if we confess those sins, we have a faithful and a high priest in heaven. And he's faithful and just, and he's going to forgive us of those things. He's not going to spank us for those things. We've had children, and the small children, they do things that they shouldn't do. We usually don't spank them until they do it the second time or even the third time. We have a little bit of mercy on them. So the Lord isn't going to spank us for doing sins. On the spur of the moment and through human weakness and through fleshly lusts that we shouldn't fall in, but we do. He's not going to spank us for that. We confess those immediately. And the Lord is not only going to forgive us, but he's going to cleanse us from the guilt of that. He's going to cleanse us from that and restore us to a right condition before him. Then there are willful sins. Now in the Old Testament, the sin offering took care of the sins that you were unaware of. The trespass offering were those sins that you found out you were guilty of after you had done them and you made a trespass of, and that covered those. But the willful sin in the Old Testament, there was no offering for the willful sin. The willful, habitual sin, there was no offering for it. And to the Christian who willfully, habitually lives on in sin as a habit of life, they can expect, you can confess those sins to the Lord, but if you don't forsake them, you're not going to get mercy. The Lord is going to spank you, and he's going to spank me when we willfully, knowingly, habitually go on in any particular sin. That's what happened to the Corinthians. They did not confess those sins. Once they found out they were abusing the Lord's Supper, in that case, they did not confess those sins, and consequently the Lord did not forgive them, and they kept on doing that. And what happened? Some of them were sick, some of them died, some of them were weak, and some of them died. So you see, the governmental forgiveness has three aspects to it. Sins we're unaware of, covered by the sin offering. Sins that we discover that we've done, covered by the trespass offering if we confess them. Willful sins, we can expect the Lord to spank us, one way or another. Just the same as we corrected our own children when we knew they willfully, knowingly went out and did something that we told them not to do, and they did it habitually, they should get a spanking for it, a correction for it. So may the Lord help us to enjoy the forgiveness of sins. Find out what sin is. Readily admit that we were terrible sinners in the sight of God, like that wicked woman. And because she loved much, because she was forgiven much, and she knew what she was forgiven of. That's appreciating the forgiveness of the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thank Thee for the vast scope of the forgiveness that there is through our Lord Jesus Christ. We ever thank Thee that in Him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins through His blood. And we ever thank Thee for Thy patience and goodness to us from day to day. As we struggle along in our weakness and failures and fail to do things that we ought to and often do things that we should not do, we ever thank Thee for Thy patience and goodness to us. And we thank Thee that there is forgiveness for us when we confess those sins. And Thou art also correcting us if we do not. So we ask Thy blessing to be good upon each and every one of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.